Masechet Bava Kama Daf Pe Zayin. The Mishnah mentioned the Lohme Veyeshet HaSoma. Someone who causes humiliation to a blind person does have to pay compensation. A blind person can feel humiliation and deserves to receive payment. Matintin Deloh Kedabi Yehuda. The Gemara notes that our Mishnah is evidently not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Soma En Lo Boshet. Because in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda teaches that a blind person does not have liability for humiliation. Seems both ways. He will not receive money if he's humiliated, and he will not have to pay if he humiliates others. And through this conduit, Rabbi Yehuda also ruled that a blind person will not receive punishments of going into exile for killing a person by mistake, or lashes, or capital punishment by a court. A blind person that does anything that would require this does not get such punishments. That's the end of the Braita. Let's explain. What's his source? Gamad anecha, anecha me'adim zomimin. Ma'atam somin la, afacha somin la. So what's the connection between embarrassment and these other punishments? It's from this verse, lo tachos anecha. Regarding embarrassment, we learn the laws of embarrassment from the two men fighting and the woman who grabs the privates of one of the men. So, kasotat kapa, lo tahos enecha, do not have pity. So here we learn that one is liable. We don't take this literally, cutting off the hand, but rather has to pay for the embarrassment that she caused. That same phrase comes up with Adim Zomimin, where you have to do to the Adim what they sought to do. Lo tahos enecha, nevish benevish ein, ayin ba'ayin, and so on. And here also says, do not show pity. We're using the same phrase. So just as a blind person is not involved in the laws of testimony because he cannot see, he cannot testify about things, and therefore is not involved in the law of Edim Zomimin, so too, regarding the laws of embarrassment, also, they do not apply to a blind person. So that's how he learns the first law, that a blind person does not have embarrassment. And now, where does he learn the second law? Mechayve galuyot etanya belo reot perat lesoma deber biyuda. V'meir omer lerabot et ha-suma. That a blind person who kills by mistake does not go into exile, because the pasuk says, if he kills someone without seeing him. This is a pasuk in Sefer Bemidbar. If someone inadvertently drops a stone on someone else and kills him belo reot, without seeing him. That's the pasuk we just quoted. So that means that it's potential that he could see him, right? So it's talking about someone with sight who doesn't look around when he's working and ends up dropping something. So he should have looked around and been more aware of his surroundings, because he did not. So he is liable to go into exile to Ir Miklat. But if it's someone who's blind, he couldn't possibly look around and see. Therefore, he does not go to Ir Miklat. That's the derivation of the Biudah. However, Rabbi Meir uses the same phrase, below the ot, without looking, to include a blind person. Now, it doesn't matter whether sighted or not sighted. The fact that he did not see that other person there, so he is liable. So it is interesting that they both use the same exact word for opposite conclusions. So let's clarify how they do that. So now, quoting down the pasuk in Sefer Devarim, also about inadvertent killer. And so there, pasuk says, if he comes to his friend in the forest and he's coming to cut down wood. So it says, Eldeehu, he comes, and it doesn't matter who comes, even a blind person who comes into the forest and kills someone inadvertently would be liable. So, Ketav Rachamana, Belo Reot Le'ma'ute. Since the Pasuk in Devarim is inclusive of everyone, so the Pasuk in Bimibar that says, and he doesn't see, means he could see, so that limits the law to a seeing person, and that's a Biudah's source, that a blind person does not go into go to Ir Miklat. Rabbi Meir, Ketav Rachamana Belo Reot Le'ma'ute. Uchtav Rachamana Bebli Da'at Le'ma'ute. Have Mi'ut Achar Mi'ut, Ven Mi'ut Achar Mi'ut, Ela Le'rabot. Rabbi Meir says, yes, the pasuk in Bemidbar says, and he doesn't see. And that's the limiting word. So that, yeah, fine, that will limit a blind person. But the pasuk in Devarim also says, without knowledge, which is also a limiting phrase. So now we have two limiting phrases. This works like a double negative, which ends up being a positive. So these two limitations end up adding something. Adding who? Adding a blind person who kills by mistake does in fact go into exile. What is he going to do with that phrase, biblidat? He uses it for something else, that in order to deserve exile into Ir Miklat, you do have to intend to kill someone. It's just that I killed the wrong person. I tend to kill Mr. A, I ended up killing Mr. B. That's the case when I go into exile, because I did have some intention to kill one person, which is the wrong person. Whereas if I did not have intention to kill anyone at all, then you do not go into Ir Miklat. That's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Now, Rabbi Yehuda further said that a blind person does not get capital punishment. How does he know that? This is the word roseach regarding someone who kills inadvertently and goes into exile. And this is the word roseach by a murderer who kills on purpose. And so just like a blind person does not go into exile, so too they do not get capital punishment for murder. Now, how do you know that a blind person does not get punished with lashes? It says the word rasha regarding lashes and also regarding capital punishment, and so we make a gezerah shava. That's all one version of the Yehuda's statement, where he said that a blind person, number one, is not involved in humiliation, and also does not get these three punishments. But here's another version that expands the exemption for blind people even more. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that a blind person does not have humiliation, and Rabbi Yehuda also thinks that blind person is exempt from all civil laws in the Torah. Not only the three categories, but even other civil laws. Says that the congregation will judge between someone who kills someone else and Goel Hadam, the avenger of the blood. And then, so that's talking about killing inadvertently, and then it connects it with all of these laws, civil laws. So anyone who is involved, for whom the laws of killing inadvertently and going to Ir Miklat to be safe from Goel Hadam is whoever those laws apply to, the other civil laws also apply to them. But if not, and a blind person, those laws of killing inadvertently do not apply to them. Also, civil laws do not apply to him. That's the second version of Rabbi Yehuda. And now a third version of Rabbi Yehuda that expands the exemption of blind people even more. Tanya idach Rabbi Yehuda omer soma en lo boshet v'chen haya Rabbi Yehuda potro mikol mitzvot amorot bat Torah. Amar Rav Shisha bered Rav Idi ma'et amad Rabbi Yehuda amar kera v'ele mitzvot v'chukim mishpatim kol sheyesh mishpatim yeshno b'mitzvot v'chukim kol she'eno b'mishpatim eno b'mitzvot v'chukim. Rabbi Yehuda says a blind person the laws of embarrassment do not apply to him. And Rabbi Yehuda also would exempt a blind person from all the mitzvot of the Torah, not only civil laws, but all laws. What's the source? Rav Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, explains that Pasuk in Devarim says these are the mitzvot and chukim and mishpatim. So it's connecting general mitzvot and chukim, ritual laws, with civil laws. So if anyone for whom civil laws applies, they also other mitzvotim can apply to them. But for anyone where civil laws do not apply, and we already saw the source for that, that blind people, civil laws do not apply to them, also all other laws do not apply to them. Presumably, the commentators go through what laws do or don't, is mean no laws apply at all. So some say, this is only talking about misvot aseh. A blind person can't just go and kill people. He's not allowed to. Even though he wouldn't get capital punishment for it, he still has prohibitions. And we're talking about positive commandments that he does not have to do. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Meresh Ava Mina, Man De Amar, Halacha Ked Bi Yehuda, De Amar Soma, Patu Mina Misvot, Ka Avdina, Yomat Abal, Rabbanan, Mai Tamad, La Mepakid, Mepaktin Dina, Veka Abdina Misvot. Rav Yosef, who himself was blind, said, at first I used to think that anyone who would tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that a blind person does not have to do mitzvot, I would make a party for the sages, because I'd be so happy because I am not commanded because I'm blind, and yet I perform mitzvot anyway. Of course, he's a great rabbi, and so he gets extra credit for doing mitzvot, even though he doesn't have to do them. That's what he thought at first. However, Vashta Deshma'it, Deha, לרבי חנינה, דמר רבי חנינה גדול מסווה ועושה, ממי שאינו מסווה ועושה, מה דמר לי אין הלכה כרבי יהודה, אבדינה יומת הבא לרבנן, מה הייתה מה, דכי מפקדינה, אית לי אגרתפה. But now that I learned the teaching of רבי חנינה, who said, greater is someone who's commanded and performs a mitzvah than someone who is not commanded. It seems counterintuitive, right? If you do it for extra credit, it should be, and you don't even have to, it should be greater. Rabbi Chanina says, no, human psychology is actually not so. People are happy to volunteer, but when you have to do something, right, like you have to, if you're reading a book for fun, you're happy to read it. But if you're assigned the book for school, then you say, oh, now I don't want to do it. If you have to, once you have to, then yes, Ra says, oh, you want to try to get out of it. So someone who's commanded and therefore responsible, he can't just decide one day I'll do it, one day I'll not, responsible to do it all the time. So that person who is doing it regularly and absolutely because he's commanded, it actually has greater reward than someone who is doing it just because he feels like that, like it voluntarily. It's hard to rely on a volunteer. If you really need something done, you want to make sure that it's someone who has a responsibility to have to do it. So Rabbi Chanina says, greater is a person who's commanded. So now, Rav Yosef says, someone who tells me halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, I would make a party for them. Why? Because I want to be commanded. And if I am commanded, even as a blind person, then I get more reward. So I'd rather be commanded than not commanded. Okay, next Mishnah says, זה חומר באדם מבשור שאדם משלם נזק סער ריפוי שבט ובושם משם דמי ולדות, ושור אינו משם אלא נזק ופטור מדמי ולדות. The law regarding a human being who causes damage is more stringent than an ox who causes damage, because a human being who causes damage to another human being has to pay all five payments for the injury itself, for the pain, for the medical cost, loss of livelihood and embarrassment. And also, the human being that causes a miscarriage has to pay for the miscarriage. However, an ox that causes damage only has to pay for damage, not the other four. And if an ox causes a miscarriage, the owner does not have to pay. Someone who hits his father or mother, but without making a bruise that bleeds. So if he would cause them to bleed, then he would be liable capital punishment and would not have to pay, because you don't get two punishments. But if he hits them in such a way that does not cause them to have a bruise, then he has to pay whatever of the five are applicable. Now, someone who hits his friend on Yom Kippur has to pay everything, because Yom Kippur is not capital punishment. We'll see the Mishnah will contrast this with Shabbat, where Shabbat, he gets capital punishment for causing someone a bruise, and so it doesn't pay. But Yom Kippur, since it's not capital punishment, it's only karet, you could get karet and also have to pay. Hachobel be'ebed ibri chayav bechulan chus min hashevet bizman shehu shelo. Someone who injures an eved ivri has to pay all five things, except for shevet, except for loss of livelihood if it's his own slave. So someone who causes an injury to his own eved ivri, now he is true, he can't work now. But who is he going to pay? The owner is the one losing out, so he'll just pay himself, so he doesn't have to pay. But there are other things he has to pay to the Eved. Hachovel be'Eved Kenani shel Acherim chaya b'cholan, Rabbi Yehuda omer, en l'avadim bo she'et. If someone causes an injury to an Eved Kenani, who is owned by somebody else, he has to pay all of the damages. All five damages, still as a human being. And the Biyuta says, no, Vadim do not have experience, or they do not get paid for humiliation, because they're already low-class slaves, so they don't get that payment. For a deaf mute and someone not mentally competent and a minor, it's not good to have an encounter with them, because you're always going to lose out. If you injure one of them, you have to pay. They're a human being, so you have to pay. But if they cause damage to someone else, since they're not mentally competent, we cannot hold them responsible, so they don't have to pay. You have to pay them if you cause them injury, but they don't have to pay you if they cause you injury. And similarly, a slave and a married woman, any encounter with them also is going to be a disadvantage to yourself, because similarly, if you cause them damage, you have to pay all five things, but if they cause damage, they do not have to pay. Eved doesn't have his own money, and Isha also does not generally have her own money, Whatever she has is owned by her husband, and they have it by his master. So he's not going to get paid. However, these two are different from the first three in the previous paragraph. However, since they do have dat, they are responsible. They just don't have access to money. Therefore, they will eventually have to pay once they do get their own money. So if the woman is divorced, and then now she gets her Ketuvah payout, she gets whatever money she brought into the marriage. So then she will have to pay at that point, or an Evid, once he gets free and now he has his own money, so he also then has to pay, which is not true of Chedesh Shoteh V'Katan, because they're just not responsible at all for their actions. They are not liable to pay in the first place, whereas Evid and Isha are liable, but they just don't have access to money, but they will have to pay eventually. Someone hits his father or mother and causes him a bruise and causes him to bleed, so he does not have to pay for their injury because he's liable to capital punishment. And similarly, if someone causes damage to someone else on Shabbat, he injures a person on Shabbat, he does not have to pay because he gets capital punishment. If someone injures his own Abed Kena'ani, he doesn't have to pay anything because it's his property, it's his ownership. Only if someone else damages someone's Abed Kena'ani, he has to pay the master. But here he is the master, so he does not have to pay. Rabbi Elazar asked Rav, if someone causes an injury to a minor daughter of someone else, he obviously has to pay for the damage, but who gets the money? The father or the minor daughter? On the one hand, you can argue that since the Torah gives the profits of her youth to the father, the profits of her youth, that's referring, number one, to Kiddushin, Kesef Kiddushin. If a man betroths her, then he, as long as she's a minor, he gives the money to the father. Also, in the case of rape or seduction, the perpetrator gives the money to the father. So since the father has the right to the money of her youth, so too for injury, the father should get it. Why? What's the connection between giving money of kiddushin and injury? Because now she is going to be worth less. Her bride price is going to be less now that she has this injury. And therefore, the father is the one losing out on that money, so he deserves to get, just like he gets the bride price, so too, he should get the money of the injury. On the other hand, we can argue that the Torah only gives her that money of her betrothal, because if he wants to betroth his daughter to a person afflicted with boils, he can. In other words, father has full control over who his minor daughter will marry, even if it's someone that's really horrible. He can do that. I mean, not that he would want to do that, but he has a legal right. However, in terms of injury, if the father decides that he wants to cause an injury to his daughter, he's not allowed to. He does not have that right, and therefore, God, the Torah does not grant him the right to receive money of injury. They're two separate things altogether, and so therefore the minor daughter should get the money. That's the two sides of the argument, and that's what Rabbi Elazar asked Rav. He answers, Rav answers, no, the Torah only grants the father money of betrothal, but not anything else. The father does not get the injury. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar asked the question, and Rav gave an answer, but Rabbi Elazar is not happy with the answer and begins to challenge Rav of Rav's own answer. It seems that Rabbi Elazar did have his own answer and was maybe challenging Rav or wasn't sure about it, and so asks him from the following Mishnah: Itiveh hachobeb ebed ivri chayav bechulan chus min hashevet bizman shehu shelo. And our Mishnah taught that someone who caused an injury to an ebed ivri, he has to pay everything except for the loss of livelihood. If it's his own Eved Ivri, then he doesn't have to pay because he's the boss, so he's going to pay himself. So he just caused his own loss of livelihood from the slave, but all the other things go to the slave. So the same law should apply to the daughter, since if a daughter works, the earnings go to the father. Therefore, the shevet, the loss of livelihood, should go to the father. So Rav, how come you said that the father only gets the money of betrothal, but all the other five payments go to the daughter? The father should get the loss of livelihood. Clarifies, and indeed, Rav would agree with that, that the father gets the loss of livelihood because anything that the daughter earns until she becomes an adult, the father gets. So, okay, good. So Rav, we're clarifying the daughter gets the other four payments, but you're right, loss of livelihood would go to the father. Rabbi Elazar further challenges Rav, Itibe, Hachobah b'bno ha-gadol yiten lo miyad, b'bno katan yaseh lo segula, Hachobah b'bito ketana patur, v'lod ela acherim shechavlu ba chayabin liten le'aviha. We have a braita, we're going to see a second braita, so we're going to call this braita number one. Someone who caused injury to his adult son, he has to pay him right away. If he causes injury to his minor son, he has to put an investment, a sigula, something special, something that will be expensive, worth more money, and will increase in value, so that when the child grows up, then he'll have be able to take that, and in the meantime, he'll gain from that investment. If a father causes injury to his minor daughter, he does not have to pay at all. And not only that, if other people, someone else caused an injury to a person's minor daughter, then he has to pay the father. So here it says, pays the father. And Rav said that, no, the father only gets money of betrothal. So how are you going to answer that? The answer is, hachinameh b'shevet. When this baraita says that the person who injures someone else's minor daughter has to pay the father, that's only talking about loss of livelihood, which I would agree with. But all the other payments go to the daughter. Okay, b'no gadol yiten lo miyad. Now, in that baraita says that for an injury to one adult son, he has to pay right away. Is that true? Look at, here's the second braita. Urminhu, hachavah benav benotav shel acherim gedolim, yeten lahem miyad. Ketanim yasem lahem sigula, bebanav benotav shelo patur. The second braita says, if someone causes injury to the sons and daughters of someone else, so it depends. If they are adults, then the injurer has to pay them, those people, immediately. If they are minors, then the person who caused injury has to make an investment on behalf of that minor, and when the minor grows up, we'll be able to take that investment that went up, hopefully. Now, if a person causes injury to his own sons and daughters, he does not have to pay. So how could it be that up here we said that in a person who causes injury to his adult son, he has to pay right away. But here it says if he causes an injury to his son or daughter, then he does not have to pay. This is a contradiction between these two baraitot. Depends if these adult children are still dependent on the father. They're still living in the father's house, eating at his table. They're financially dependent on him. So then, if they are financially dependent and the father caused an injury, he does not have to pay, because he's paying for everything for them. But if they are financially independent, that was the first braita that said, then the father has to pay them immediately. Now let's clarify both of these things. The first one, we decided, is b'she'en simuchim al shulchano, when they are independent, and that's why the father has to pay for damage he did to his adult children. Let's read the continuation of that baraita. If in fact it's talking about a child who's independent financially, then the continuation that says a person who causes injury to his minor daughter does not have to pay. And not only that, someone else who causes her injury has to pay the father. So this doesn't make sense, because the money should be given to the minor daughter, because she has to provide for her own sustenance. What we just said is talking about someone who's financially independent of the father. So why should the father not have to pay and get the money? The money should go to the daughter. And we're going to increase the question by comparing the daughter to an eved. Even according to the opinion, there is one opinion that says a master can tell his slave, "I want you to work for me, and I'm not giving you food." But he can only do that, even according to that opinion, if it's ever Kanaani. Because he can tell him, "I want you to work for me all day, and then go out and beg for food at night." So, maybe, according to that one opinion, if a master doesn't have to give him food. But for an Eved Ivri, the master has to pay, because it says that is good with him if he wants to stay. It says, I like living with you. It means that the master has to provide food and drink for his Eved Ivri. If my master has to pay for food for his Eved Ivri, all the more so for his own daughter. And so therefore, it doesn't make sense that the father should not have to pay the daughter, or that someone who injures a minor daughter should give the money to the father. The money should go to the daughter, because the father is responsible for providing for his daughter. Use an answer that Rava, the son of Rabullah, said in a different context. We'll apply it here also, that we're talking about the surplus. Certainly, the base amount of what she needs to eat, right? How much is her food per day? $20 a day. Okay, that amount is going to go to her. But if the payment here is more than that, well, then the father can keep it. So that's what the Braita was talking about. Okay, so we explained the first Braita. Now the second one, the second Braita, how do we explain it? Bismuchim ha-shulchano, that's where these adult children are dependent on the father, so that's why the father doesn't have to pay if he injures them. Gedolim yiten lahem miyad ketanim yaseh lahem segula. Amai lavihem ba'e lemitveh. If so, in the continuation of the Braita, says that if someone else causes injury to someone's adult sons, he has to pay right away. And if it's a minor, then the injurer has to put it into an investment. But why? Since they're dependent on the father's household, they should have to pay the father. Amre ki kapid b'midi de kachasir. We explain that a father is particular about money if it's money that he's going to have to pay out. Since these kids are dependent on him, he caused them an injury, and he doesn't want to have to pay any money out of his pocket to give to them. After all, they're dependent on his table, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. However, if it's new money coming in from elsewhere, someone else caused injury to his son, so he doesn't need to keep that money. He's like, you know what, give it to my son, who's an adult, or put an investment for the minor son, even though technically he would have a right to take it, because the kids are dependent on him. He doesn't mind that the money go to the son. Hold on. And another law in general is that if a child finds finds a wallet in the street, so it goes to the father. Now, this is new money coming in, yet we assume that a father is particular and says, I want, you know, that's mine. Amre Rav Chada katu le'ma'alma bilet lehu sa'ara degufayu begafa kaped. Rav Chabalad it lehu sa'ara degufayu me'alma ka'ate lehu la kaped. There's actually two distinctions. If it's new money coming in and there's no harm to the child, because the child just, there was no injury, it just found something, then the father says, give that to me. You're dependent on me. You found something, so I get to keep it. But in case of injury where it's new money coming in and there was injury to the child, the child suffered a pain, so then the father says, I don't want to benefit monetarily from the pain that my child had. So there, he's fine to let the child just keep the money. We now challenge this distinction from the first Braita, that in the first Braita, there is injury to the daughter, and the money is new money coming in from outside, and yet here the father is particular and wants the money himself. As it says, right? Not only even if it's other people that cause damage to her, they have to give it to the father. So this is curious because based on what we just said here, it seems that the father does not care and would be willing to let the daughter have the money because it's new money coming in. And what kind of father is going to want to benefit monetarily from suffering that happened to their child? And the answer is Amre Hatam de Gabra Kapdanahu de Ha en Samuchin al Shulchano Afilu Bemidi Date Lehu Me'alma Kaped. The two Beratot, I'm talking about two different types of people. That Beraita is talking about a person who is very particular. Look, after all, he doesn't take care of his children. They don't eat at his table. And so, if that kind of father, even new money that's coming in from elsewhere, he is particular to say, yes, I want it. If it's coming to me, I'm going to take it. Whereas, this Beraita, Hachad, Elav Gabra Kaptanahu Dehas, Simuchin al Shulchano, he is not particular. You see, he had his children are dependent on him. He takes care of them. If he has to take out money from his pocket, then he's going to be particular, and he says, why should I? I don't want to have to pay if I don't have to. So even this kind of person will not want to shell out money. But if it's new money coming in, they will not be particular and say, you know what, don't pay me, just give the money to the child. V'mahus mai segula. We mentioned before that if injury happens to a minor, so that one should put something into an investment. So what does that mean? What's a good investment? Rav Chista amar sefer Torah. Rabba amar Ravuna amar dikla de'achil mine tamre. One opinion is sefer Torah is always going to have a lot of value. And the other is a date palm, because then you have a tree and it grows and it produces dates, so that you have something that keeps on producing. V'chen amar Resh Lakish, v'lo ziketa Torah la'av, en la'shevach ne'orim bilvad, Rabbi Yochanan amar afilu pesi'ah. This discussion that we had above, among the rabbis of Bavel, Rav, in particular, also in Eretz Yisrael, Resh Lakish reports that there are two opinions, that we report that in Eretz Yisrael, there are also two opinions. Resh Lakish says that the Torah only gave to the father the rights for the kesef kiddushin and the bride price, but that's all. And so that's the same as the opinion of Rav, that the amount of damages goes to a father if someone injures the minor daughter. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, even if it's just a wound, the father receives it. The father does, in fact, receive everything. Now we ask, Pisya sakadatech, I feel to be Elazar lakami ba'ale ela habala. Do you think really just for a wound, the money would go to the father? Even to be Elazar above, who disagreed with Rav, that was only regarding habala, an injury. De'af hata mikaspa. That was the two sides of his question. Well, maybe an injury, she will get less of a bride price because of this injury, and so the father's losing out. So that was the side to say that the father deserves that payment for injury. Even Rabbi Elazar would not even bring up as part of a question that for just a wound where her value is not diminished, that the father would get that money. No one would say that. So Rabbi Yochanan is not parallel to, not certainly not to Rav, but not even to Rabbi Elazar, right? Can it be that Rabbi Yochanan really thinks that even for a wound that has nothing to do with her monetary value, the father would get the money? Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina shepesa'ah befaneha ve'af hatah mikaspa. Rabbi Yosef bar Chanina explains that the wound is on her face, and so it does lower monetary value, even though it's not something that will diminish from her ability to work or anything like that. Nevertheless, it will diminish from her beauty, so that the bride price will be less and the father will lose out because of that. So that's why if it's talking about something that's noticeable like that, then that is the way Rabbi Yochanan said that the father deserves to take that monetary payment. Baruch Adonai Leolam. Amen v'amen.